Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Imagine you are on a high, you're very excited about a recent interview that you went on, and then you open up your email and you read the email and it says, "We went with another candidate," or even, "Thank you for applying, but we decided to go in another direction." It could be just as simple as, "Thank you for your interest, but this position has been filled." Have you all ever had that before, where you have seen one of those thank you but no thank you emails? Nobody enjoys rejection, especially when it means missing out on the opportunity you felt like was only for you, a wonderful opportunity. However, it's important to remember that job rejection can have a silver lining, and I know it doesn't feel that way at the time. We've all experienced it at some point in our careers, feeling disheartened and uncertain and really frustrated, not knowing if the right opportunity will come along. But what if I told you that rejection could be the catalyst of your career growth? Well, stay tuned. Hi, friends. This is Tywana Wilson. I am your leadership mentor and host for this episode of eLaborate Topics. And I want to welcome you to another episode of the podcast. It releases each and every Tuesday, so you can go and catch our new episodes, as well as go to directimpactbroadcasting.com and review the catalog of episodes that we have had to date. Make sure that you share it out. Make sure that you go on over to our partners over at LabVine to check out all of the laboratory content that's on that platform as well. So let's jump into today's episode, where I will share some real life examples and some practical strategies to help you transform those rejections into stepping stones that will help propel you to move forward, so that you will keep applying for those job opportunities and not get frustrated when you receive those thank you emails. I can remember I had just got my MBA and I was on the bench as a medical laboratory scientist working in a reference laboratory. And while I enjoyed working in chemistry and toxicology, I wanted to transition from the bench. And so I went back to school, I got my master's degree, and I just thought that all of these doors were going to open up because I had a master's degree. But I can remember interviewing for a job. It was a laboratory project manager role for a commercial research and pharmaceutical company. It was in a different state. I was pretty excited about it because it was the first opportunity that I had that would be off of the bench. It would still be in the lab, but off of the bench. So I drove to the other state. I'm really excited about it. And the interview was exhausting. It was an all-day interview. It was the first interview that I had ever had of that magnitude, to be honest with you. The interview was about 5 hours long, could have been a little bit longer. And it consisted of multiple interview panels where there were the traditional structure interview question and answer. There were also interview segments that were role playing and scenario based type of interviewing. There was a section or segment of the interview that consisted of a writing prompt for me to answer the question. And so the interview, I took off a day of work, drove about 2 hours to this location for the interview, was there for about 5 hours, and then came home. And so I was super excited. I thought I did really well until I got the thank you, no thank you email. that they went into a different direction. And so I thought this would be a good topic to talk about today, because I know many of you are looking to advance in your career. You're looking to move into your first or maybe next leadership or managerial position, or you could be looking to transition out of the lab and maybe work in something totally different, or work in, stay in healthcare, but just maybe not on the bench. So I wanted to give you some practical strategies you can do to improve your chances of long-term success after experiencing a job rejection, because it is going to happen. So if you have not experienced a thank you, no thank you email before, it will come. If you apply for enough jobs, more than likely at some point in your career, you will get turned down for an opportunity that you were really excited about. So the first tip or strategy after you have this rejection is to embrace a growth mindset and really sit back and do some self-reflection. In the face of rejection, it's essential to cultivate a growth mindset. Instead of seeing rejection as a failure, view it as an opportunity to learn and grow. Thomas Edison famously said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." Instead of viewing rejection as a personal failure, recognize it as an opportunity to grow and improve. Embrace your belief that you can develop your skills, your competencies, and experiences, and use rejections as motivation to strive for excellence. Remember, every setback allows for kind of that introspective purview, self-discovery, and a chance to become a stronger candidate for future career opportunities. And that's one of the things that I had to do after that, after I didn't get that lab project manager role. It made me think, okay, so do I need more experience? One of the things that they said is that they were looking for somebody that had a little bit more experience. Well, my experience as a medical lab professional had predominantly been on the bench. I had worked in, by that time, a few different types of laboratories. I worked in a reference laboratory. I worked in a government laboratory by that time. I also worked in a hospital laboratory. And I think I might have even worked in a research lab by that point. And so, but they were all similar roles. So I was getting new opportunities and I was making additional money along the way, you know, a couple dollars increase here, or, you know, change shifts from third shift to first shift in this move, but not necessarily getting additional skills. So I got additional education, but I really didn't have additional skills. And it could have been that I was not able to effectively communicate the skills that I had, you know, outside of saying I got this many years of bench experience and I have this degree, but not really being able to translate my experience to what they were looking for. So making sure you cultivate that growth mindset and seeing it as, well, I didn't get this opportunity, but this interview prepared me for the next opportunity, or not getting this opportunity, you know, was a blessing in disguise. In my case, it was a blessing in disguise because I didn't have to relocate. I was just at that point where I was just trying to get opportunities, and, you know, if it required me to move, then so be it. But I really wasn't mentally even ready to relocate. So having that time to, you know, self-reflect, but also embracing a growth mindset, even though the opportunity I would have loved having that opportunity, it wasn't meant for me to have at that time for whatever reason. Once you've accepted that you won't be getting the job, it's crucial to engage in self-reflection, considering what you would do differently if you had the opportunity to interview again. You can also evaluate your planning process, the amount of time you dedicated to researching the company, and how well prepared you were for the questions. If you took shortcuts in your preparation, this may indicate a need for greater commitment in the future. And when I think back about that opportunity, I know that I could have done better prep. I know that I could have done better research on that organization. And if I would have done better research on that organization, I feel like I could have been able to role play some of those scenarios better or answer the questions in the way that they were looking for an answer. So I want you to imagine you applied for a promotion opportunity or another opportunity that you've been interested in in the lab, but you were turned down. Rather than dwelling on not getting the opportunity, view it as a chance to evaluate your skills and identify areas for growth. In this, you can also do a SWOT analysis, so analyzing your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to see where there could be some ways for you to evaluate your skills and ways for development. Stay motivated by reminding yourself that this setback is just temporary. It's just a temporary detour on your journey toward success. You have to really embrace that growth mindset and think positive so that you are not feeling defeated or feeling like you don't want to try for other opportunities. So wake up each day ready to conquer challenges head on. Great accomplishments often arise from the willingness to face and overcome obstacles. So lean into the discomfort, embrace the unknown, and watch your skills and confidence soar as you self-reflect, as you grow your mindset. The second strategy is seeking feedback and analyzing job fit. Feedback is a gift when it's done right. Let's say that sometimes people can give feedback and it is not done in a way where it is constructive or helpful. But when it is done that way, it is a priceless tool for your personal and professional growth. While not all interviewers will be open to sharing their insights, some may provide you with some basic information about where you went wrong or how you could have performed better. You might even discover that the rejection had nothing to do with your performance at all, but rather someone else had a stronger resume. Requesting feedback will not only help you refine your interview skills, but also prevent you from making misguided assumptions about what you could have done differently. If the initial feedback isn't sufficient, because sometimes you may not get anything, or it might just be we went with another candidate, don't hesitate to ask for further clarification. Here are three questions that you can ask that might help you get some valuable feedback. You can say, could you kindly provide me with insights on what qualities or skills the successful candidate possessed that made them the ideal fit for this role? If you ask a question like that, then their response more than likely will give you valuable insight into the specific attributes or experience that the interviewer was looking for the role. This knowledge can help you because it can help guide your professional development and help you better position yourself in future interviews based off of the insight that they share with you. You can also ask, What areas did you identify as my strengths during the interview process? I would love to leverage my strengths as I continue to grow in my career. If you ask a question like that, then it will allow you to gain a sense of your positive qualities that you conveyed during the interview. Sometimes it's hard to sell yourself and you could just be talking and not truly remember everything you said. So if you ask that type of question, then it will give you some feedback on what the interviewer thought was your strengths. It will provide an opportunity for you to reinforce some of the strengths and be able to strategically build upon them. This will help you understand your unique selling points, and it will help you with developing your personal brand as well as your elevator pitch. Sometimes as lab professionals, we like to do a lot of explaining. We like to do a lot of talking, and sometimes the interviewer wants a quick and succinct, who are you and what can you bring to this role, without it being a 15-minute dialogue around that. And the last question that you could ask for feedback would be, are there any areas of improvement that stood out during my interview? And if you ask this kind of question, you can get it. And I guess the other part that you can add to that would be that you value their constructive feedback and would appreciate their insights on how they can help you enhance your skills for future opportunities. So if you do this, it shows that you are committed to developing your skills and you are interested in areas in which you could get feedback. In addition to asking the interviewer for feedback, you can also ask or seek additional feedback from your mentors, colleagues, and/or supervisors or managers that you trust, as it provides valuable insight and help you identify areas for improvement. So sometimes having another person look at the situation or look at how you interview could be a way for you to get that additional feedback. You can consider this a valuable opportunity that will help you in your journey towards advancement. Another key thing to remember is that job rejections can also result in distinct requirements not being met or limited in your certain experience for what they are looking for in certain areas. So as you are seeking feedback, also look at job fit. To overcome some of the hurdles that might result in job fit, that it may not appear that your experience aligns with it, is focus on highlighting your transferable skills that demonstrate your adaptability and your ability to learn quickly. And emphasize your leadership, potential communication skills, problem-solving abilities, critical thinking, and your passion for personal and professional growth. When you look at fit and if you position yourself as a well-rounded candidate, it will definitely increase your chances of securing your next opportunity. So think about fit as well. And make sure when you're looking at different roles, whether it's a promotion opportunity or an opportunity just for another job role, analyze or think about your desire for wanting that role, because it will come out in the interview if you're just trying to get the role because you want to make more money, versus if you are really passionate about what that role entails. So seek feedback, and also you want to analyze fit to see if it's something that might be in alignment with where you want to go in your career, and if you have the skills that are needed and conveying those skills in a way that fits the job description. The third strategy is enhance your elevator pitch. Your elevator pitch, and I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but it is your concise yet persuasive summary of your professional background, your skills, and your goals. You don't have 15 minutes to try to sell somebody on you. A lot of times you only have 30 seconds, maybe a few minutes to be able to showcase your unique strengths and resonate with potential employers. You want to practice delivering it with confidence and clarity. The more you say it, the better you will get, and you will be and sound confident when you say it. It will not only help you during your interviews, but it will also allow you to confidently promote yourself in any professional setting, if you're networking, if you're pitching yourself. And we did an episode around pitching yourself, whether it's pitching yourself to be a speaker for a conference or pitching yourself for an award or scholarship. I will list that episode where we talked about pitching yourself. But if you are wanting to know what should you focus on, that is a great episode to go back to make sure that what you are focusing on is going to be those things that give you the most value. It's going to set you up and create your unique value proposition for potential employers. So as you are thinking about your elevator pitch, and for example, if you are wanting to stay in the lab but advance in another role, you want to convey your passion for the lab and your drive for personal growth and you can do this during networking events and conferences. That way people will know that you're interested in the field, and maybe you have started to develop an affinity for one area of the lab or one discipline over the lab over another. So this is an opportunity to showcase your passion, any success stories that you have had. You can highlight how you've overcome challenges and even contributed to your current workplace. So these are all things that you can put into your elevator pitch so that when you're interviewing for your next role, you are talking about those things that are related to the job that you are going to get, but also highlighting those experiences that you've had in a succinct way. You're able to say, you know, the things that you do well. You're able to communicate, you know, what would they get by hiring you very quickly. So always enhancing your elevator pitch. And even if you don't just say your elevator pitch, if you know those things that you want to focus on in your pitch, whether those are highlights of your career or ways you've made an impact or what made you happy in the lab or happy in your current role or why did you decide to get into this field, it will allow you to have some conversation topics that you can talk about as well. I know that a lot of us lab people are introverts, and sometimes starting conversations is not always easy. And so when you get in the habit of creating these pitches, it will also give you some additional content to be able to pull from when you are in these conferences and workshops and webinars and things of that nature. The fourth strategy is expanding your network. Networking plays a crucial role in career advancement. Using job rejections as an opportunity to build connections and expand your professional network is key. Engaging with like-minded professionals fosters collaboration, provides valuable insights, and increases your visibility within the medical laboratory community, within your hospital. It could be within the professional societies. So building your network. You want to connect with established professionals who are in the field, inside the field, and outside of the field, who are maybe in healthcare or maybe in business or maybe in a related industry, who can offer some insight, advice, or potentially recommend you for suitable opportunities. I have talked about this before, but in my last role where I had the opportunity to start a mobile diagnostics program, being in the mammography space, it helped that I had a relationship with a friend or a connection with a friend who was in the women's health industry. She was a nurse, or is a nurse by background, and she was working on this project, and they were looking for somebody to build this program from the ground up. Originally, they were looking for just somebody that had a business background, that really had that business insight, not necessarily radiology insight or necessarily healthcare, but looking for somebody that really had that business background, that had experience with business plans and starting programs and things of that nature. What they didn't really realize that they also needed, because this was a community-based program, is they needed to have somebody that had connections in the community, right? That wasn't on the job description, that you have connections in various aspects within the community to be able to, get the van to businesses, get the van to not-for-profit organizations at health fairs. And so having people in the field who can offer you insight, because I didn't necessarily think that my skills in the lab would have been transferable to that opportunity. And so when you connect with other professionals who can give you insight, give you advice, can look at ways of looking at your transferable skills that maybe you didn't consider before, that will lend ways to other opportunities. As you are establishing your network, you can always join relevant professional groups, of course, attending conferences, live events, workshops, webinars, engaging in networking events to meet industry leaders, cultivating relationships with mentors and peers who will find and provide that invaluable support, like I talked about with my nurse friend, and help you with potential opportunities. And when you have a mentor who has successfully navigated the career path that you might be interested in, then they're able to give you some guidance. They're able to help you with motivation and also leverage their connections and their prospects for some potential opportunities that may or may not be advertised yet. So you want to make sure that you find some mentors, some advocates, some sponsors that you have in your network, and those people who are a little bit further along in their journey than you are, that might be able to give you that additional wisdom or insight that you may not have yet. So expanding your network is your fourth strategy. And then the last strategy that I will leave you with is creating a personal development plan and building resilience. So as you think about, how you went on this interview and you didn't get the opportunity, think about honing your interview skills. Consider that personal development plan. And based on the self-reflection that we talked about earlier and the feedback that you received, identify areas of weaknesses and opportunities for improvement. You can concentrate on becoming a more desirable candidate rather than being fixated on factors beyond your control, such as whether or not you were likable. Did they like me? Did I come off as having a good personality? So you want to develop your personal development plan that has what skills you might still be needing. Maybe you need additional communication skills. Maybe it's verbal, written, or nonverbal, communication that you need enhanced. Maybe it's highlighting your strengths and being able to look at everything you're involved with inside and outside of the workplace and see what transferable skills that you have. Maybe it may require you to, get a certification or take a class so that you have better business acumen. So having that personal development plan based off of where you want to be, what is your ideal career, and then that will help you to be able to have some better skills so that when you go on the next interview, and also don't be afraid to do mock interviews as well. So mock interviews and asking your network to help in your personal development plan. You want to build resilience, and it is essential for navigating the job application process, because you will, depending on where you are in your career, you may submit a lot of applications, and from some of the entities, you might not even hear anything back. And then others, you'll get to the interview phase, and then you may not be selected at that point after going through, numerous interviews and submitting numerous documentations based off of what the employer is asking for, and still may not get the opportunity. But rejection is inevitable for most people before they land the job that they are really happy with. And job rejections, you have to remember this, is that it's not personal, but it really is a part of the process. And when I think back to, there was another opportunity that I went out for that I was pretty excited. I was excited about this one as well. I had got my master's degree, and I'm, again, thinking all of these doors were going to open, and I found it really difficult to get that first role off from being a bench tech. And so this other opportunity, I was excited about it. It was in another state, and it was for a diagnostics company, and I was going to be on the training side. So I was going to be doing training and development. It was on the East Coast. So they flew me out to the organization, and I interviewed with a few of the people who were doing the job. I interviewed with the manager, and we had a lunch interview, and then I interviewed with one other person. And, sometimes in those interviews, you'll have casual conversation, and all of that still filling you out to see if you're going to be a good candidate. And it was a small team. I love training, so I was thinking, oh, this would be a great opportunity. It's still lab related. It was more so in the molecular area of the lab. So I was excited, and I flew back out from the interview that exact same day, and then kind of waited around. And I eventually got the notice that they went with another candidate, and it really didn't have anything to do with skills. Once I got the feedback was they thought I could do the job. They didn't have an issue thinking I could do the job, and they thought I would be a good fit. Their concern was they didn't want to hire somebody and the person didn't stay. And so one of the questions that they asked me because this was on the East Coast. Commute time, it was rather lengthy compared to what I was doing at the time. At the time, I maybe had a 15-minute commute, and with this opportunity, the commute would be closer to like an hour and a half each day. And so they asked that question because they was trying to kind of feel me out if that was going to be a barrier or not to come from a 15-minute commute to a longer commute and, you know, spending all the time training me and getting me up to speed only for me to, you know, not want to stay with the organization or say that the commute was too much. Building resilience is going to be important and critical on your journey as you apply for different opportunities and you experience rejection along the way. Embrace the feedback, seek development opportunities, build a strong network, and maintain a positive mindset. Those are key things I want to leave you with in addition to the strategies we discuss. Remember that the path to your next career opportunity or leadership position is rarely a straight line. It may take some time and effort to achieve your goal, so make sure that you don't give up. During challenging moments, rely on your support network and maintain a positive mindset. Make sure you lean into that positive and growth mindset. Stay persistent in your pursuit, adapt to changes, and continue to learn from each rejection. Keep your focus to the end goal, knowing that each experience will contribute to your personal and professional growth. And by doing so, you'll approach each opportunity with newfound confidence and ultimately find your next dream job or your next career advancement opportunity. So hopefully this podcast has been helpful for you. If you like these practical strategies for helping you maneuver through your job and career and leadership tips, then make sure that you stay connected with me on LinkedIn. That's Tywana Wilson on LinkedIn. My co-hosts Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead and I also have an Elaborate Topics group on LinkedIn as well. So make sure that you get connected with the group. I hope you tune in next week when we have another awesome episode, a great topic, and amazing guests. If you want to be a guest on this show, just let us know that you're interested and what impact can you help make for our listeners who are listening to the show. So let us know what you would like to talk about or be interviewed about. Share this podcast out to your friends, your colleagues, and all of those that could benefit from hearing these leadership and career strategies inside the lab and outside the lab. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Tywana Wilson, your leadership career mentor, and I hope you have an awesome, awesome week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.